This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to the show. I'm Lee Tree Lin. It is Friday. It being Friday, we have, of course, Dr. George Lee, our doctor in the house, and he's accompanied today by Dr. Emily Goh, consultant rheumatologist. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. It's the show before Chinese New Year, so it has to be appropriate for something like this, right?
We're talking about something rich, which I guess, it being Chinese New Year, is what we all want to talk about.
And we're talking about food.
We're talking about what happens when you perhaps live it up just that little bit too much.
That's right.
We're talking about gout.
Absolutely.
King's disease.
Yeah, the King's disease. Is that right? Okay. So actually, I have ulterior motive to bring Emily here. Emily, thank you very much for coming to see us today, you know, offering your expert advice, because we really, you know, we've already got people kind of writing to us, emailing us, telling us, you know, all sorts of things. I think it's going to be a busy show. But before we do that, I have ulterior motive. Actually, you know, you know that I send a lot of patients to see you because of kidney stone caused by gout. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, every morning when I looked in the mirror, I think this is a gout time bomb. It hasn't happened yet, but one day it's going to happen. So I'm a bit worried. And then so when I read this article, you know, reported on BBC Health and basically dated 16th of January, rates of gout in UK soaring. The prevalence of gout, apparently traditionally associated with too much port and unhealthy lifestyle, is soaring in the UK. No one in 40 people in the UK affected by this, according to analysis about 15 years ago. Because, you know, apparently, you know, in 1997 and 2012, there is a prevalence rise of 64%, increasing around 4% every year. It is staggering. It's making you very busy and very rich, woman. Isn't that right?
Yeah, you're very right, George. Thank you.
The rich part.
I'm so happy. Right. No, not at all. But it's true about the gout incidence actually going up. It's been going up in the UK, and it's been going up in the USA as well. And, you know, I have been in practice, I hate to tell my age, but for at least 20 years. And actually 20 years ago, we used to see a gout with a disease of old people, you know, old rich people like you, George. But now,
old, rich and fat. So I think the old and the fat part probably true, right?
But unfortunately, now I have patients, men in their 20s with gout.
Is that right?
Yeah, as young as in their 20s. And, you know, it's becoming more and more prevalent, even in the Malaysian population. And there are some factors that we think may be responsible. One is the general population of a country is getting older in the UK. Mm-hmm. So age, as they get older.
Right.
As our population ages, they have more prone to certain diseases like gout,
sure,
osteoarthritis, osteoporosis, you know. But the other problem is obesity,
right,
and lifestyle. And the problem is it's now also affecting not only the elderly, but for the younger people.
Mm.
Because as our population gets less active and they don't look after their food properly, so they become more prone to diseases like gout.
Mm.
So it's due to the rise of obesity and the lack of, you know, a healthy lifestyle.
So the more affluent a society is, the more conscious the people within it are of their health. As doctors, is this a statement that you think holds true?
I would think so. Gout is called the disease of kings, you know? So it used to be you have this typical
wine
person.
And, wine.
Port, the port and the sherry.
Actually, I feel like I'm such a killjoy, because every time after Chinese New Year, at least, you know, a dozen people will be outside my clinic suffering from gout.
So the wooden horses will be arriving at your door soon. You're the horse, obviously, this year. You know. I think this is very appropriate for the show. We're 1 week away from Lin Chow Yat, right? Okay,
yes.
So everybody wants to know what they can eat, what they cannot eat, if they are grouts, what will exacerbate. You know, it's a perfect time for those of you who are concerned about this to ring in. Why don't you, Emily, tell us a little bit of exactly what gout is, and then how does it affect people around this time of the year?
Okay. Gout is an accumulation of uric acid in our body, and uric acid is actually a waste product. And we accumulate the uric acid if we take too much of it or if we can't get rid of it. And it is like, I tell people, it's like sugar melting in a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
You keep pouring sugar into a glass of water, after a while, the sugar doesn't dissolve. It will crystallize at the bottom of the glass.
Right.
It's the same as our blood. We have so much blood in this volume.
Mm-hmm.
And if we keep putting in uric acid, the uric acid cannot dissolve after a while.
Okay.
And it will crystallize in our body. You know,
so what sort of food will actually increase this pool of uric acid?
Well, high uric acid containing foods.
Well, that's not helping. Right, it's such as.
No, but what is uric acid to begin with? You know, is it something that, because you think of things that do so-called bad things to your body, like cholesterol, and these are things that are necessary as well as potentially harmful. But when it comes to something like uric acid, does it play the same role, or is it really just something that you need to get rid of?
Uric acid is a waste product. Yeah? It's something we need to get rid of. And human beings, we actually have a gene that will process this uric acid, but actually we have a lot of high uric acids because we don't have, the gene is not very efficient. And it is like, as you say, a waste product of certain foods, especially protein-containing foods.
Sure. So name us a few kind of like Malaysian, very popular food that perhaps will contribute towards high uric acid.
Everything that tastes nice, George.
Is that right?
But the main culprit is high protein food, especially meat.
Huh? Meat, okay.
Red meat, lamb, beef, and all the, you know, organs like kidney, liver, you know. And some of my patients are very sensitive to duck.
All right.
You know,
so
although it's not
duck,
traditionally mentioned. You know,
okay.
But everything that tastes rich.
Okay, and like, then, you know, the foie gras and it's like, you know, all right.
Is totally.
Really? Absolutely?
Yes.
Right, okay. So in Chinese sense, presumably that's called yit hei, right?
Is it called
yit hei? I'm actually not sure. We're all looking at each other, but nobody's sure.
Because you know, when you're ill, and then, you know, you often get patients coming to ask you. I'm sure people say, after I've done an operation, and then, you know, I always get patients who ask me, it's like, you know, can you take this? Can you take that? And then, you know, most of the time they just say, you know, this is the one that actually is a bit angin, right? Mm-hmm. So is that equivalent to that? Or do you have any view on these sort of things?
Well, I think basically red meat and certain seafood.
Certain seafood, such
as prawns, all the delicious things, crabs, you know, and oily fish. All these are high in uric
shellfish.
Acid. Shellfish.
Oysters,
yeah.
Oysters,
lobsters, everything that tastes delicious.
All right.
You know, it's really high
it's
in uric acid.
You.
And of course, traditionally, people say you cannot eat beans, you cannot eat tofu. Mm. But the research has shown that actually vegetables and tofu play a much less role.
Right, okay.
Yeah?
What about alcohol?
Oh, yeah, that's a biggie, George.
That's a biggie. So what
biggie.
Sort of alcohol?
We always say alcohol is almost in about more than the majority of my cases, I can pin it down to the amount of alcohol that people are taking. You know, why their gout suddenly got worse or why they suddenly got gout, especially in the younger people. And a certain different type of alcohol has different tendency to cause gout. The worst
example,
of all is beer. Because there's some purine, there's something else in beer that has a lot of uric acid.
Mm-hmm.
Beer, traditionally, is the worst, followed by red wine.
Right.
And then followed by spirits.
Right, okay.
So if you had to take alcohol, it's better. It's not good to take alcohol. But if you had to take some, it's better to take white spirits or white wine.
Truly, I mean, what you've just described, everything that you've just said, is a description of a great meal. this is quite
That's
sad.
Why she said in the very beginning that anything that tastes like, surely, you know, somebody somewhere is trying to punish us, right? Okay, you can have the great meal, but you will suffer afterwards.
On the other hand, though, we did have a text message from Zaki who says, I found out that I have gout about 20 years ago, swelling in both ankles, and I used to get gout attacks about five times a year. But in the last 3 years, I've hardly had any attacks. I've stopped taking any gout medicine about 4 years ago. How is this so? I'm 46, I cycle regularly, and I eat what I want to eat. Zaki actually falls within that category you were talking about of men who find out that they have gout when they're very young, because he would found out when he was 26.
There is one way to check whether you have gout. It's actually when you go to the doctor, you're supposed to check your uric acid level.
Mm-hmm.
If your uric acid level is normal and not excessive, especially in a low normal, then you do not have gout, because
right.
It's not possible for the crystal to form or crystallize out when there's not enough in the blood.
Is that clear cut? I mean, it's like, you know, is there some sort of cutoff to actually say that above this level you have got gout, and then is there any sort of association we've got these sort of like thresholds?
That's a very good question, George, and it is true that it's actually a scientific level, and we usually say that a low normal level of, actually we call it 0.036 millimoles per liter, which is a low normal. Below this, the crystal cannot form in the blood.
Mm.
So below a certain level, then we know that person has not got gout.
It's not possible.
It's not possible because
sure.
It's not physically possible.
But once you have gout, do you always have gout? I mean, are you permanently a gout patient waiting for an attack, or can you be cured the way Zaki seemingly has?
Well, you see, the level fluctuates. So when the level is high, like you eat a lot of things, or then obviously you are prone to an attack. If the level is low, then you won't get an attack, which is, that means like your Zaki, he's obviously managed to control his gout level. That means something has changed. Either he's exercising more, drinking more water, or being more aware of his diet. And he's healthy. Most probably he may have lost weight. You know, he's become a healthier lifestyle. And then so the uric acid level has not accumulated. If he checks his blood, that's when he'll know actually whether his gout is gone away or not.
So how many proportion of people are as lucky as Zaki? You know, that sort of like had gout attacks previously and then took mm-hmm. medicine for a while mm-hmm. and then suddenly changed his lifestyle, changed his diet and then never see the attacks of gouts again?
Well, I would say that quite a big majority of people can prevent the gout just by lifestyle changes. And I spend a lot of time on lifestyle changes because medicine itself is not good enough. If you take a pill and take 10 beers every day, nothing is going to help you. Nothing.
And some people think that they can do
yes,
that.
Yes, exactly. You know, so
not some people, most people probably.
all the wishful thinkers.
That's right,
in other
of
words.
Course. Yeah.
So if you see me, unfortunately, I will nag you. You know, I will bring your mother, I'll bring your father, I'll bring your wife, and gosh. I will nag you. Until
this is the only way sometimes, Dr.
Well, no,
George.
No, that is not true. That is not true. It might work. I tell you what. You know, you share with us how many of these is the nagging is actually helpful.
Okay, well, yes. We'll get to that after the break, along with LTY, who's on the line. So do stay with us on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to The Bigger Picture with me, Lee Chui Lin. Today, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, is in the studio with me, along with Dr. Emily Goh, consultant rheumatologist. We are discussing the topic of gout. And we are also inviting your phone calls. The number to call 03-7710-9000. The number to text 016-201-9000. And you can also tweet BFM Radio. LTY, we are going to get to you in 1 minute. But first, Dr. Emily, dying to know the answer to the question, does nagging work?
If you're nagging Dr. George Lee, then it won't work.
I'm not sure what would.
Well, actually, you know, I find reasoning doesn't work. I think the fear factor, if it attacks you once and mm-hmm. then that sort of like pain probably deter you more than the nagging, I think. I don't know. Maybe LTY will tell us more.
Well, good afternoon, LTY. Are you there?
Yes, hello, Liz.
Hello,
good afternoon, LTY.
Have you got a question?
Before that, I wish all of you a very happy Chinese New Year or happy Lunar New Year.
Yes,
absolutely. Gong Xi Fa Chai.
My question to you, Dr. Emily.
Mm-hmm.
We are very familiar with gout, okay? What causes gout. But sometimes it is difficult to distinguish from other conditions, such as chondral calcinosis. This is the deposit of calcium pyrophosphate rather than uric acid. Can you please tell us a bit more? Thank you very much. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Thank you, LTY. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. We are diverging a little bit from the subject of gout, okay? Of course, gout can... many other conditions can mimic gout. We have got, you know, about few hundred different type of rheumatic conditions, you know. So it's not just. And calcium pyrophosphate is called pseudo-gout. That means it's something that is like gout. It looks like gout, but it's not gout. Why? Because the substance is not uric acid. The substance is called calcium pyrophosphate. So it's a different crystal. They look different under the microscope. So if you look at it under the microscope, the gout is a long, thin, needle-like crystal, whereas the calcium pyrophosphate crystal is short and fat.
Is it also triggered by different things?
Yes, it is, because calcium pyrophosphate is not really triggered by food. Yeah? It's triggered by older people who have osteoarthritis.
Right.
So it's a different reason. They still get the pain
and
swelling.
So one is degenerative, the other one is byproduct induced.
And when you do an X-ray, you can see calcium inside the joint. And that means the patient actually has calcium pyrophosphate or pseudo-gout and not real proper gout.
So in gout, you do an X-ray, you don't actually see any calcium?
Yeah, you shouldn't.
All right, unless it's very damaged.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if you have pseudo-gout, you will see a line of calcium in the joint. And of course, your uric acid level may or may not be high. It may be normal.
Okay, and we have a phone call from Andy as well. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Andy. Mm-hmm. Gong hei fa choy.
Yeah, gong hei fa choy. I just got a question for Dr. Emily. Does gout always strike on the ankle? I have high uric acid, and I don't have this swollen on the ankle. But I do have a pain on my hand joint. Like, is that also caused by urexit by any chance? That's my question.
Okay.
Dr. Emily, have you got any questions for Andy?
No, would you like to, before you answer your question, do you think any information that you need from Andy?
You said you don't have pain in your ankle, but do you have pain where else?
Like, usually my joint for my hand. Like,
your hand. Okay. Yeah. Now, the thing is, a high uric acid, right? Not everybody with high uric acid will have gout. Only 1 in 10 people with a high uric acid, that means above the normal in the blood test, you know, the range, will actually develop gout. So not everybody has gout when they have high uric acid. They just have high uric acid. Mm. The other thing, the classical area of gout is not in your ankle. It is in the big toe.
Big toe. Huh? The big toe disease.
Yes, the big toe disease is in the ball of your big toe. It's excruciating pain. It's like somebody putting a knife into your joint. Okay? It's one of the most severe pain in the world, as that and kidney stone. Okay?
Kidney stone. It's unfortunately for gout people, you get that pain and also kidney stone pain as well.
Yes, we have both of you here. Right, this is just very...
So I will ask the person...
No, in fact, if you suffer from gout, you actually are more prone to getting kidney stone as well. Yes. So you get double whammy. I think that will stop you from eating the foie gras.
Which is something that we'll get to. But in the case of Andy, does that answer your question?
So it's in the big toe, and if you have severe gout, it can spread to more than your toe. It can go to your ankles, your knee, your hand. It can spread all over your body. And lumps of uric acid called tophi can develop in your body. Big, white lumps everywhere. Mm. And this is pure uric acid.
Right. Mm. Okay.
So that's not very nice lah when that happens.
I see. So if I don't have the symptoms in my toe or my ankle, like, chances are it's not gout, it's something else.
Yeah, it may be something else. Yeah, okay. Correct. Right. You need to see your doctor and just check it out, you know?
So if Andy comes to see you, so how do you determine if his uric acid is high, but actually his pain is in different part of the body or different joints? And so how do you make that determination whether he suffers from gout or not?
Well, gout is a very typical history, as I say. It is associated with pain, swelling, and redness, and it's actually excruciating pain, whereas the other arthritis may be less painful.
Sure, okay.
And the other thing is, it's very quickly relieved in a few days with non-steroidals or, you know, anti-inflammatory drugs, whereas other arthritis may not be so quickly relieved.
Right.
All right. Thank you for calling, Andy.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we are still welcoming your phone calls. The number is 0377109000. If you have a question for Dr. Emily or Dr. George about the excruciating pain in your big toe or kidney stones,
that's right.
You know, we might as well throw childbirth in there while we're talking about pain. But, you know, if you do have questions, that number is 0377109000. Lines are open. You can also text 0162019000 or tweet BFM Radio. We do have a text which says, my last blood test shows some crystals in urine which led to a sharp pain when passing urine. Is this also gout? What foods should I avoid?
Right,
this is Mrs. Wong.
That's Mrs. Wong. Actually, if your urine shows some crystal, and then usually the crystal can be easily identified by the microscope, then which sort of like a crystal it is. Sometimes it can be calcium oxalate crystal, sometimes it can be uric acid crystal, and that will give you some indication of whether that is responsible for your pain. Indeed, people are more have got crystals in their urine, you're more prone to getting renal colic. If it's uric acid, maybe you might be that 13 to 17% of sufferers who suffer from kidney stones actually is due to gout instead of calcium stones.
We also have a tweet from Alan Fiddler who says, does all bad food, bad. Those, you know, lovely quotation marks.
I think that Emily said good food rather than bad
food. I think just as a society, Malaysians refuse to accept that good tasting food could ever be bad for us. But does all bad food trigger gout, or is it that a sufferer has specific triggers? For example, red wine might trigger for one but not another.
Some people have different sensitivity to different foods. Some people are very sensitive to beer. Other people are sensitive to meat. So I don't know about that. There's no research, but it's very individual. Mm. You know, people tell me every time I eat this, tomorrow I have a gout attack. You know?
My mother always says that, you know. It's like, sometimes she just kind of say, well, I can't take this tonight because tomorrow I will suffer and that sort of thing. And then sometimes, you know, you see her gobble away and then the following day she's okay. So, you know.
Is it better than really to just kind of mediate across the diet as opposed to saying, I can have all the wine I want so long as I don't touch a single prawn?
Or you drink more water. Would that solve the problem?
No, you're right, Lynn. Basically, it's to decrease your overall intake of protein, decrease your overall intake of sugar, and also to maintain, not be obese, So it's better to be, of course you can avoid that particular one you're particularly sensitive to, but it's everything.
I mean, it's near Chinese New Year now. Obviously, a lot of people are going on their feast and that sort of thing, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And how likely, how quickly are you going to get this attack after you have a big, seafood meal tonight and also massive amount of lamb and that sort of thing? how often, when will you get this attack?
Tomorrow morning.
Is that right? As quick as that? Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, so it's quick.
So I'm pretty safe now.
Okay. All right. Let's see what Yong has to say. Good afternoon, Yong.
Afternoon, Yong. Happy New Year.
George, Emily, and Suiqin, is it?
Chuilin, yeah. Close.
I'm so sorry.
No worries.
Okay, Dr. Emily, you mentioned just now about alcoholic drink.
Mm-hmm.
I just have one question. What about champagne? I'll listen on it.
Okay. Thank you, Yong.
Mm-hmm. Well, champagne would be under white wine, lah. Champagne would be under
So is that good or bad?
It would be less than the other,
We actually have a text message from Dr. Raja who says, good evening, Emily, following up by saying champagne also causes gout. I don't know if that's a statement or a question.
Well, actually, a lot of people, we don't drink that many, that much port or sherry. And in fact, that is supposed to be the kind of like a alcoholic beverage.
Stereotypically, yes.
The sort of like Oxbridge after high table kind of Oxbridge thing, and then those will be the ones the following day you see the professor kind of limping into the lecture theatre, that might be the sign of gout. Why is that? Why is certain, you mentioned beer, presumably malt content or something like, why sherry and, champagne is less and red wine and that sort of thing? Why is there such differentiation, Emily?
Well, actually, almost all alcohol causes gout, because actually we have mentioned another one is sake, which you never mention in the Western.
Of course, yeah.
But a lot of my Japanese patients have drink sake. They have to sometimes entertain. I had a patient once and his gout was low.
Okay.
It was well controlled about the week before. And then he went out on a business trip and drank 3 bottles of sake.
Right.
And the next day, immediately, his gout level was 5 times higher and he had an acute attack. Mm,
okay.
So I think it's, although we say that some alcohol is more prone, all alcohol, unfortunately, can precipitate an attack. Even things like sake that we don't normally
think too much about.
But because we have Asian patients and we see so many.
We worry most about beer, sherry, red wine, but realistically, it's all alcohol.
Yes, yes.
It's just like earlier, you can't just cherry pick the fun stuff.
Right? So it's not just certain vintage from Bordeaux might actually be less likely to induce a gout attack.
Exactly.
All right, okay.
Okay, and we have Johan on the line. Good afternoon, Johan.
Good afternoon, Johan.
Good afternoon, George.
Yes.
And Lin.
Yes.
Yeah, how is everyone today? Yeah,
I think we're on in good spirit before Chinese New Year, worrying about what we're going to eat tonight.
Before I forget, Gong He Fat Pai, or as my niece would say, Gong He Ho Chai Ao Pao Yan.
Thank you.
I visit my 8-year-old niece, but unfortunately today she's not here. But the other day I so happened to, I babysit her on Friday, so that's when I have the radio on with your voice on it. The other day I had the TV on and she was asking me, isn't that the guy that you were talking to on the radio the other day?
I hope that was a handsome gentleman, because otherwise Dr. George Lee will be very offended.
My people saying this uncle is very round.
Yes, indeed. That's the reason why the first thing I said to myself was that every morning I looked and I said to myself, this is a gout time bomb.
Have you got a question on gout, Johan?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, Dr. Emily was saying that we should keep away from the red wine and the beer, but white wine is fine. But this question, what about, like we used to yam sing during this this season, this Chinese New Year, things like VSOP and XO, would that be okay? And if so, in what amount? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Johan.
Thank you. I think we just missed the last bit of conversation where we said all alcohol, it can cause a gout. And basically, it depends on how much uric acid you have in your blood. If your blood is elevated, you have a lot of uric, even a little glass of alcohol will precipitate acute attack. So it just depends on, you know, how much uric acid you already have in your body.
All alcohols are created equal. No. Yes.
They're all bad for you.
That's right. Okay.
And we have a message from Kumar who asks, hi, can vegetarians get gout as well? Do certain vegetables increase the uric acid level? Now, I know that there are things like broccoli and mushrooms and spinach, and they're said to be a little bit problematic. But I think any rheumatologist we've had on the show have all said what you've said, Dr. Emily, which is that vegetables, they do more good than harm. You're better off eating them than not. Does this still hold true for vegetarians who might be eating more than, you know, someone who's more omnivorous?
Actually, I do have a few vegetarians who actually have gout, you know. But as I say, the evidence usually shows that vegetables do more good than harm, and it's not so, it's not really proven that vegetables cause more gout. And I feel like people who are vegetarians who have gout have other problems. They're probably overweight, or they have a very strong family history of gout, which also is associated with things like diabetes and high cholesterol. So they are genetically maybe more prone to develop gout. Of course, they are supposed to eat less beans and less soya if they can, but it's difficult as a vegetarian. But there's actually no evidence to suggest that vegetables cause more gout. Although, it's, you know, it was like that before, but actually people have found that it doesn't increase the risk.
So the previous perception was not evidence-based.
That's right.
But still, to answer Kumar's question, yes, vegetarians can get gout.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we, Dr. Raja continued earlier after champagne to ask about prophylactic medication. Now, I think we'll get to that later when we address medication as a whole, since we're still talking about lifestyle. Adam Lee says, drinking more plain water is good for both kidney and gout. Mm-hmm. How about flavoured beverages like the ice and juice, and does it help?
Okay. Interesting question, in that we found that there's a when you drink sweet drinks, fizzy drinks, it actually increases the risk of having gout. Not diet drinks, strangely enough, but if you drink a lot of sweet, like Fanta, Coca-Cola, excuse me, I shouldn't be saying that, but you know, sweet fizzy drinks, it actually increases your risk of having gout, so you should avoid sweet fizzy drinks.
No, strangely, the diet fizzy drinks don't have such effect. Okay, that's interesting.
So not the diet fizzy drinks, the sweet one. So something to do with the sugar and the obesity that it causes.
Sure. Mm.
All right, Stanley Wu via Twitter, does eating alkaline foods relieve gout?
What's an alkaline food?
I don't honestly know. Stanley, if you could help us out and tweet examples of what you mean. Yeah, I guess the logic here is that
is there alkaline, heaty or non-heaty one?
I don't know, but alkaline balances acid, I guess, might be the logic that people would be going for. I'm not sure. Mm. Yeah, if you have
because,
examples
you know,
of what you mean.
In urology, you know, sufferers who get renal colic as a result of elevated uric acid, we actually ask them to alkaline their urine, and then one of the things to do is to take all these alkaline agents. And you know, Stanley, if that's what you're referring to, and then in fact, if you're a sufferer from kidney stone as a result of uric acid elevation, alkalination of your urine is the treatment of choice.
But that's alkaline agents, not food.
Food. Well, I guess the food will eventually will start getting into the, you know, the alkalining agents, you know, like, for example, potassium citrate, you know, will infiltrate into the urine and actually alkaline the urine.
And we have Andrew G via Twitter also, who asks, can coffee and tea cause gout? It would seem like we've established food is no good. So now everybody's worried about the drinks.
So it depends on whether Emily will define coffee and tea as good food or bad food, right? Okay, because she'd started off the whole show by saying that all the good food in inverted commas causing it. So we'll talk about that, you know. Emily, what's your response?
Well, coffee and tea is fine.
Right.
That does not have any effect on your uric acid. So you can drink everything in moderation. Now, the key to a healthy lifestyle is everything in moderation.
Ah.
It's not nothing, you know, but everything a little bit, everything in moderation. That is the key to a healthy lifestyle. Because if you actually go on a severe diet and drop out many things from your diet, sometimes you can't sustain it, and then you binge eat.
Yeah.
You know, you start having binges.
Is there genetic predispositions if you are more prone to gout or not? So is there some sort of unfair system in our ecosystem that some people can eat whatever they want, they just never get gout? Is there such a thing?
Yes, I mean, gout is also influenced by your genetic system. And as we have a condition called metabolic syndrome, which is gout, diabetes, high cholesterol and hypertension, and they all run together. Mm. And it's been shown that at least 40% of people who come with gout have at least one of those other conditions.
Right.
So most of the time, it's not the gout that's the problem. It's the tip of the iceberg. You know, you have a high US, you come to see the doctor and we check, everything is out. Every single thing, your cholesterol is high, your sugar is high, your blood pressure is high, you're overweight, And unfortunately, then you have to start changing your entire lifestyle.
Yeah, I was going to say, it might actually be a good warning sign of sorts, you know, to have that pain to let you know, look, hold off on the lobster. Okay, we're going to get to more questions after this. And again, the number to call, 03-7710-9000. We are looking forward to your questions. The number to text, 016-201-9000. And you can also tweet BFM Radio. We're taking a short break now for the market updates. Stay with us on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living. It is Friday. Our doctor in the house is here, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, accompanied by Dr. Emily Goh, consultant rheumatologist. Today, we have Dr. Emily here because we are discussing gout, the rich man's disease, or rather now, increasingly, the common man's disease, or the common man who likes to eat disease.
The common man, obese, and likes to eat rich man disease.
We have a question here from Danny, who says, Danny here from Ampang, is there an easy gout uric acid home test kit like we have for diabetes?
Well, actually, there's no home test kit, but it's very easy. It's just a blood test.
Yeah, usually your renal function blood test will have a part of it.
Any clinic can just take a blood test and you'll know the result by the next day. It's not a difficult, but of course, you'll have to have a blood test taken.
Mm. Okay. If you want to ask questions to either Dr. George or Dr. Emily, the number to call 03-7710-9000. We're waiting for you. The number to text 016-201-9000, or you can tweet BFM Radio.
Yeah, Emily, I think we have to come back to Dr. Raja's questions. Is there such a thing as prophylactic treatment? I presume what he's thinking is about tonight I'm going to go for a binge of lobsters and foie gras and your lamb casserole, and then with a tinge of port and, you know, Chianti. So he knows he's going to suffer. However, he thinks, okay, if I take something beforehand, allopurinol, for example, will that stop me from getting an attack? Is there such a thing?
Yes, I have this problem all the time because I have many gout patients and Chinese New Year is coming up. So for sure, they're going to eat more and they are going to be prone for attack. For prophylactic, allopurinol is a drug that should be taken on long term to prevent the uric acid rising. It's not be taken as required. It's taken long term. Sometimes this is off the record. I will tell the patient
off the record. Yes,
off the record,
listening.
Please, to take a little bit of colchicine twice a day for a week or two during the Chinese New Year period, because I know if they eat more, they're gonna get attacks, which will also prevent the acute attack. But the other thing is we ask people not to take too many painkillers, because as Dr. George knows, the anti-inflammatory drugs can be not good for your kidneys.
That's right, yeah.
So how serious can gout get? I mean, we laughingly or jokingly refer to it as a rich man's disease. Really, I mean, even in modern articles about it, that still is a phrase that comes up over and over again. And for that reason, I think it's kind of, people almost dismiss it, right? It's like it comes and it goes, it doesn't matter. And some people regard it as a minor inconvenience to deal with when it's around. And then the rest of the time, it's okay, we'll just wait for the next attack. But how serious can it get? Earlier, Dr. Emily, you mentioned an acute attack. Yeah, what happens?
Well, as you know, those who have suffered from gout know that it is really severe, excruciating pain. And it can be treated with painkillers and colchicine. But unfortunately, if you take a lot of painkillers, you can get a gastric ulcer or kidney damage. So it's very, very not a good idea to always be taking a lot of anti-inflammatories, because they can cause side effects. Unfortunately, I still have patients come in who are men in a wheelchair, you know, completely devastated by gout. All their joints are destroyed, with lumps appearing everywhere, and they're unable to work, and they're in constant pain. And this is a disaster, because basically, this condition can be preventable and treated.
And so does it destroy your joints? Does gout destroy your joints?
Yes, it does, because the uric acid crystals form into your joints, and your body thinks, it's a foreign body. You know, your body doesn't like it. So your immune system will start attacking those crystals. Mm. And they will eat up your joints. There'll be little holes in your joints called erosions. Yeah. They look like rat bites.
Interesting you said that, you know, Lynn, earlier on you said that, you know, always perceive as a bit of a trivial condition. And then, you know, we're talking about it before Chinese New Year and say, you know, go easy on the wine and that sort of thing. Professor Alan Silman from the Medical Director of Arthritis Research UK actually echoed a concern that you have. You know, this is a quotation from it. It says, it's not a trivial condition, yet its reputation as a joke disease that only affect florid-faced country squires has meant that over the years, it has not been taken seriously. And from what Emily described earlier on, for somebody who actually had it irreversibly damaged the joints to render somebody wheelchair-bound, I think we have to take this more seriously.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, when you're talking about, it wasn't even a trifecta of diseases, it was a square of diseases that comes with it, you know. Uh-huh. And those are very serious chronic conditions. Yes. We have another text who says from somebody who says, I've had gout at the age of 19 for a period of 2 weeks, but since then it hasn't occurred anymore. I'm 30 now. Mm-hmm. So I guess there are some people who have it under control to a certain extent.
Do children get it?
Well, thank goodness I have not seen any children with gout, apart from the rare, you know, genetic diseases. The youngest I've seen is the late teens. But
all
that
right,
is already
19
not,
years old,
yeah,
so somebody who was quite young, right?
Yeah,
okay.
It's too young.
And we have a tweet from Robert Lim who says, in all seriousness, should rheumatism sufferers avoid kangkong? Because obviously everybody can afford it now.
Yeah. Does kangkong cause gout?
I might be actually associated with gout. I'm not sure. I've not seen the evidence yet.
No. I mean, seriously, because it will have high kind of like a content or purine that actually may render somebody getting gout?
Actually, I'm not sure because I don't know what kangkong is in English.
Oh, okay. What is kangkong in English?
Kangkong in English is... It's water something. I forget the exact.
You know, you're going to get people furiously actually. You know,
actually, please tell us. Yes, you know, because
they know.
Yeah. Okay, right.
There's no evidence.
We have somebody who says water spinach.
Water spinach.
I'm not sure that's right.
All right. Okay. Well, Lynn is disputing that. Okay.
You're not supposed to take too much normal spinach.
Okay. Okay. All right.
But as I say, vegetables have a very, very minor role to play in gout. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
So overall. Yeah, again, we come back to do more good than harm when it comes to vegetables.
So, you know, there may be a little bit of evidence. Like, for example, you know, in kidney stones, apart from uric acid, it's also calcium oxalate. Oxalate is notorious in something like chocolate and rhubarb and, you know, and in nuts and things like that. You know, like Emily said, it's taken in moderations. And then certain vegetables probably have more preventive role rather than destructive roles.
We do have people who've come in to correct me and said, yes, water spinach. So I bow down to the people who know this.
So now, Emily, you know it's called water spinach. Does it cause it?
I cannot have any. This is a very controversial topic, so I will not answer that.
Back to the gentleman earlier, I presume gentleman, who said I had gout at 19, now 30, and it's been gone for that period of 11 years. His question is actually the same as Zaki at the start. It's how is this so? Dr. Emily, I think earlier you said lifestyle change, right? Most likely.
Yes. He has become maybe more aware about his health and his weight and about his food.
Right.
Because having an attack sometimes just brings up the awareness.
So it's not the nagging that works.
Well, nagging helps. I have to thank Peter, who's joined in via SMS, to say convolvulus, because that's the word I was looking for.
Convolvulus.
Yeah, which sounds much much more terrible than water spinach. Yeah, I think water spinach is easier to remember. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to, because we're running out of time, let's move on to the issue of medications. So for people who've, eliminated all those things.
Yeah, for all the patients I sent you with kidney stones caused by gout, what do you do with them?
Well, kidney stones caused by gout is actually an indication to treat the gout, to lower the uric acid, because that's one of those indications that, you know, you may damage your kidneys. So a very high level, recurrent multiple attacks, you know, more than 5-6 attacks and high with kidney stones means we got to treat, you know. And there are two ways of treating. The acute attack is just to treat the symptoms, to relieve the pain, which is things like anti-inflammatories, colchicine, huh? And but the long-term uric acid lowering attack is it has to be different medications, and those have to be taken long-term.
And are there any ill effects to the long-term medication?
Well, if you're not allergic, so that your doctor actually has to monitor. They have to start in a low dose to make sure you're not allergic to the medications. And if you're not allergic, you know, most people can tolerate these medicines for long term. So only certain drugs can bring down your
You're not seriously telling me that all the 25-year-old I sent you, you asked them to take medication for life, do you?
Well, if I don't nag them enough and they don't change their... So we say for the near future,
that's
I tell them a few years.
That's quite serious,
absolutely.
Actually. You know, 25-year-old take medication for life.
And absolutely. So don't eat too much food, you know, exercise and keep your weight down.
All right, we have a phone call from Janani. Good afternoon, Janani.
Good afternoon. Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon, Janani.
Yes, just to let you all know, my mom always says that water spinach is bad for rheumatism.
Risk of rheumatism, that's right.
So
okay.
Even though the price is down, it's not going to help us.
Okay, and I think Dr. Emily has concluded that, you know, vegetables overall probably will do good and, you know, I think in moderation is probably the right thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you, Janani.
But yeah. Not this.
So, kangkong, major issue. We have another phone call, but before that, you know, Dr. Emily, you've talked about the conditions that can come in tandem with gout. Are there pre-existing conditions that makes it easier for one to contract gout?
As I say, yes, it's the genetic predisposition.
Sure. Huh?
It goes hand in hand with diabetes, cholesterol, blood pressure, high blood pressure.
Mm. And we have a phone call from Martin. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would just like to know, is uric acid one of the contributing factors for cervical spondylitis?
Uric acid, one of the... Okay, sorry, your line wasn't very clear. I think I heard it a bit. You know, is that what you're saying, that uric acid a contributing factor for cervical spondylitis? Is that right?
Yes, please.
Spondylosis.
Yes,
doctor. Yeah.
Uric acid has no relation to cervical spondylosis. Cervical spondylosis is a degenerative disease. It's a wear and tear disease associated with osteoarthritis, which people can get when they get older. So not related to the uric acid.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you, Martin,
for your call.
Yeah.
Okay, we are really running out of time, but we still have a lot of questions, so
let's try and blitz through them.
Okay, someone says, I have a 31-year-old guy friend that works out daily, like playing football and running a few times a week. He doesn't drink alcohol much, maybe a pint or two once or twice a month. He eats lots of vegetables and will go vegetarian once in a while. However, he was told he has gout. What else would you advise him to do? And he says, kangkong is morning glory in English, so we've got lots.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so for a gentleman of 31 who's active, who seems to live healthily, who can go vegetarian.
Let me guess, Dr. Emily is going to blame on the genes.
Is he overweight? That's the other thing, huh? You didn't actually mention his weight.
If he wasn't overweight, would it be genetic?
I do have thin people having gout.
But in this case, he's asking, what else can this gentleman do?
Well, failing everything else, then they have to go on uric acid-lowering therapy because, you know, all the lifestyle changes don't work. And some people, in some cases, it's like that, you know, that despite whatever they do, they still have a very elevated uric acid level. And they will have problems from that.
He says he is skinny, so I guess it's then it,
we have skinny
it applies.
People as well.
Yeah. Mm. All right, and we have another text going, will nutritional supplements help? Fish oil, salmon oil, krill oil?
You know, sometimes some of them, on the contrary, might be more destructive, right?
That's right. Nobody's asked me the hot question yet. The things that always post in the Facebooks are cherries and papaya.
Is that right?
Nobody ever asked me these things. It's all over the... Okay.
Cherry and papaya.
Actually... There's actually one study that shows that cherries may help.
Yeah? Help to...
To prevent the attack. But unfortunately, you have to eat about 40 cherries a day, and it's very expensive. There's no other... there's nothing else that really says, like fish oil or this, to say that it will lower your uric acid level.
No proof. Okay.
No proof.
And so to the both of you, you know, to wrap things up on our
pre-Chinese New Year episode,
what message would you like to leave us with on gout and on all the good foods that we've now been sadly told we can no longer have or we can't have as much as we would like?
It's just that you need to be more aware about your health and how to keep yourself healthy. Gout is preventable and treatable.
Mm-hmm.
So don't wait too long until there's irreversible damage.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to say.
I think that's fair. Well, for me, I think nagging doesn't work, right? Okay. And also, I guess I will take Emily's advice, you know, everything in moderation, and then see us through a good, strong wooden horse Chinese New Year.
Yes.
You know, long ma jing san, right?
Dr. Emily, how long have you known Dr. George?
Long enough.
Too long. Right. No, because then, you know, Dr. George, if you're only now taking Dr. Emily's advice to go in moderation, maybe nagging does work.
Maybe this is proof positive.
He's going to be my patient one day, don't worry.
I did say it's a time bomb. But anyway, on that note, I think, you know, it won't put us put too many people off your lovely, delicious, festive dinner, and then enjoy it in moderation and with lots of water.
Yes.
Thank you very much to both of you for joining me today. I've been speaking to Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, and Dr. Emily Goh, consultant rheumatologist. We have been trying to understand more about the so-called rich man's disease, gout, on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.